The time here in the Inland Northwest is 2 minutes past 10 o'clock. I'm Jim Tevenin. We are previewing a very special event that is going to be happening this coming Saturday evening at the Fox Theater in downtown Spokane. Starts at 8 o'clock, and it's called An Evening with Chris Botti. Chris Botti, a trumpeter who I think pretty much needs no introduction. And I believe that we have got Chris on the line with us here. So good morning, Chris.
And a very good morning to you. How are you?
I'm doing quite well. And I should say also in the studio with us are two folks deeply connected with the Music Conservatory in Sandpoint, who is going to be the beneficiary of this concert. It is a benefit for the conservatory, and we have the artistic director, Karin Wiedemeyer, who is in the studio with us. Good morning, Karin.
Good morning.
And also a board member from the conservatory, Frank Geisler. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning, Jim.
Well, Chris, I'd like to dig right in here. And my main focus, what I'm really interested in is your development as a musician from the earliest days, because it's a fascinating story that we could spend a lot of time with, but I'd like to explore that with you if we could. What was your start with music? I know that you come from a musical household. Your mother was a pianist and piano teacher. And I guess maybe include in my first question, how come you didn't take up a career as a pianist?
Well, I started early on the piano, like most people. And I don't know, I rebelled probably against that, having played for maybe 2 or 3 years. And then I wanted to do something else with a musical instrument. And like a lot of kids, whether it's seeing Michael Jordan on TV or Tiger Woods or whatever for the first time, I turned on my television and saw Doc Severinsen on the Tonight Show Band. And that sort of, the mobility that you get from being able to play the trumpet, you're standing, it's a soloistic instrument, you're not you're not in front of a cello or in front of a piano or behind the drums. And so I just gravitated towards that. And my mom being obviously was a great classical pianist and teacher, then kind of took the reins and got me to study with really, really great teachers along the way. And I think that's one thing a lot of young people don't realize, that it's just not you and your instrument or you and your instrument's schooling at fourth grade. You can venture out and go, take lessons at some point with the principal trumpet player in the Oregon Symphony or the local symphony here, or if you just scour around a little bit, you'd be surprised how open great teachers are to teaching young people.
And you note at one point you made a real commitment to the instrument when you were 12 years old through hearing Miles Davis play.
Yeah, that was the time, I started the trumpet at 8 or 9, and then I knew about Doc Severinsen, and I knew about Maynard Ferguson, and both of those gentlemen played the trumpet with incredible projection and joy and very dazzling sort of sound. And then I heard Miles kind of like brooding, more intimate, although he could put the air into it at certain times to give the horn the ability to open up in that way, that glorious way. But a lot of the times it was this soft, gentle intimacy that really resonated with me. And then, I told myself I was going to try to be a trumpet player for the rest of my life. I didn't envision necessarily all of what became, but I certainly spent the next 6 years until I was time to go off to college, and then subsequently to move to New York, convincing your parents that this is for real. Because I think every parent, thinks their kid's going to be Paul McCartney until the moment they say, no, I'm really moving to New York. And then they're, more apt to say, wait, we want you to be a doctor or a lawyer. And so you have to be kind of headstrong for two reasons: to benefit yourself and also to talk in talk your parents into the notion that you were going to do this.
Right, right. You had, it's fairly common these days for high school students to do what are called running start programs. And you were really an innovator and a pioneer in this, weren't you? Because you basically were in college when you were still in high school. How did that work?
Well, I grew up in Corvallis, Oregon, which was about 80 miles south of Portland. Mm-hmm. And so I had been, you know, since the age of 15, I'd been playing with this fabulous drummer up there who'd play every night in Portland named Ron Steen. And I thought to myself, there's a great jazz program at a community college up there called Mount Hood Community College. And I thought maybe I could talk my teachers into, specifically my teachers in Corvallis, into letting me go to Mount Hood Community College and take basically their courses and apply them to my high school credit. So in a nutshell, I went up there and played in that big band, studied with those great teachers up there, but also enabling me to go to the clubs every night until 2-3 o'clock in the morning. That's where you kind of really learn about jazz. I mean, hanging out with the other musicians. And, you know, obviously I was only 16, 17, 18, 18, 17 at that time. And so it was a really great thing. And this drummer, Ron, took me under his wing and had me in his band and playing all his gigs every night. And so I was working, gigging every night and seeing the real jazz life, which I think a lot of young musicians don't get that opportunity.
Now, as you were growing up, as you were spending such a large amount of time in the world of jazz and learning about that, were there other styles and types of music that you were learning about as well, either as a solo player or in an ensemble?
Yeah, sure. I would play in orchestras. To play the trumpet, you have to learn such a groundwork of fundamentals, and those fundamentals are based in more in classical music, I would say. But the rigidity of classical competitions or recitals or sitting in the orchestra is something, again, that I felt maybe sitting behind an orchestra, I wanted to be in front. I wanted to be able to have freedom to do what I wanted to do, and jazz is a perfect kind of venue for that, because, well, you're in front of the band, you're a band leader, instead of being in the back of the orchestra waiting for the conductor to cue you. And so I kind of quickly exited that world. And by the time I really left high school, then I was full-fledged jazz musician all the way.
How about that? We're talking with Chris Bode, who will be in Spokane on Saturday night, this Saturday, July 11th, at 8 o'clock at the Fox Theater. And he is going to be playing, and it will be specifically as a benefit for the Sandpoint Conservatory of Music. And as mentioned earlier, we have two guests from the conservatory, Frank Eisler, member of the board, and we have also our artistic director, Karin Wiedemeyer, of the conservatory. And this is, and I'll get back to Chris here, the concert is, as far as the conservatory is concerned, is really all about getting young musicians interested, getting young musicians turned on to whether it's jazz or some other style of music. Again, you had lots of influences on your early life, Chris, that brought you to that. Are there any others that you care to mention who, let's say, in terms of your personal style, your also the sound of your instrument, were there any teachers or situations that were key to developing that?
Boy, every stepping stone along the way has been so important. And I get asked all the time, a young person will say, well, how do I, become successful like you become successful? And I was an individual that when I first moved to New York, if I paid the rent on time, on a particular beginning of the month, I thought I'd won the Oscar. You know, so I would do every horrible gig, playing in the subway or playing on the street. You know, you develop these kind of wins over your life. When I was able to break into the studio scene, how did I do in that session that actually paid real money through a real union, musicians union, and then subsequently going out on the road and obtaining, somehow getting a real gig in a band. So I had 8 years or 9 years playing straight with Paul Simon, and that was standing next to Mike Brecker, who's probably arguably, outside of John Coltrane, one of the greatest saxophone players of all time. The band was flanked with a bunch of very celebrity heavyweight musicians, Steve Gadd on the drums, et cetera. And we played huge places. A concert in Central Park was 800,000 people. And, you know, and I was 27 years old. And that sort of solidified me amongst other musicians as, oh, this guy's on the up and come. Status of the world of trumpet, and it led to me inevitably getting a record deal. But then these all become start overs. You know, you start again. It's not just playing on the street to pay the rent. Now it's, can I make a record and have people actually enjoy what I play in front of them in a concert? And I think the major turning point is I'd already released a few records, and then the opportunity to join Sting in his band and to have his friendship and approval throughout my career still to this day. He opened so many doors for me, being not only in his band, but then his opening act. I remember vividly we were opening. We did 10 shows at the Beacon Theater in New York, and one of the audience members goes, I think my friend Oprah Winfrey would really like this trumpet player, you know? And so the next week we were on Oprah, and you know, these things all kind of fall into place. A lot of it's timing and good luck and stars aligning or people believing in you. And it's a journey, you know, you go through all these little things and then, you know, can you sell a ticket in Milwaukee or Spokane rather than just the major jazz festivals throughout the world? And I put so much work and effort and time into keeping my band on the road and crafting what the show is to this day.
Yeah, well, you certainly the stars have aligned for you, and congratulations for that. But that's largely through the effort that you put in, because you mentioned playing as in studio orchestras. One cannot be any kind of slouch and do that. You'd have to be able to play it right the first time, and there you go. So good for you. There's one last avenue I'd like to pursue with you, because I know you have another commitment in a few minutes, and that is your particular sound. Is there an identifiable to you, an identifiable Chris Botti sound on the trumpet? And is that a matter of the instruments that you play? Is it a matter of your own creativity? What is the situation there?
I think it's for my good fortune. I think it's been kind of a real opportunity to showcase the trumpet in a melancholy way, and to not be afraid of playing or making music that sounds beautiful. Now, to a lot of jazz musicians, that's paramountly against what they want. They want to have music that sounds academic, heady, very kind of takes a lot of effort to listen to it. I want the music to be, for instance, like I look out in the audience if I'm playing a particular song or something like that and someone's in tears, then that's my greatest sense of joy. Like I've moved an adult, you know, that has a lot of things on their schedule or they're busy with stuff and they're crying, you know, because the music's pretty. Or beautiful or touching in that way. So thankfully, my trumpet in certain circumstances has been able to deliver that sort of emotion, which I think in a crowded room is one of the most difficult emotions to get out of an audience member. And then obviously my show is a show, so we rock all around between classical music to jazz to popular music, and there's movement in it that allows the audience to be taken on a ride.
And who will you be playing with at the Fox?
We have my world-class band and three very, very special guests, an opera singer, a great popular pop singer, John Splitoff, and Cy Smith will be singing, and as well. She's an incredible singer. And so the show moves around in so many different styles and pace. Now, I think when you make a record, you have to make a record that sounds all beautiful all the time so people can listen to it in their own intimate space. But I think when you see a concert, you need to be, you know, you need to have your musical muscles flexed when they need to be flexed, and you need to have fun when you need to have fun, and bring the audience along for this ride.
Well said. Well said, sir. Chris Bode, thanks for your time today, and thanks for the insights you gave us into the development of a young musician as you were into the icon in the jazz world that you are.
Thank you very much. And a very good morning to Frank. I know he's listening, and hello to him. And he's been a dear friend for so many years, and I'm very grateful to be able to have this opportunity on Saturday to play in Spokane.
Very good. Well, we look forward to your arrival.
Thank you, Chris.
All right. Thanks, Chris.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye. All right, guys.
All right. That was indeed Chris Bode. And we have now Frank Geisler, who was just in conversation with Chris. And Frank, I'm going to ask you a quick question here, because this is a benefit for the conservatory. But it's more than that, too. It's a real attempt to bring in young listeners and get young musicians involved. And you have a special offer that's a part of that. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, music education is, of course, paramount. And a lot of people, you know, sometimes in this day and age tend to forget about the importance of arts and the importance of music in the development of young minds. So it's the mission of the conservatory. It's my personal experience as well. So for this concert, we are extending a buy one, get one free to all music students that are, you know, in the region. They can just go online to the Fox Theater and enter the promo code BOGOJAZZ. And they can invite their parents or their friends and buy one, get one free. So we hope to see a lot of young students coming and realizing that the importance of music education live in the Fox Theater.
Right. And specifically, Karin, the importance of the Sandpoint Conservatory to the cultural life of Sandpoint. And you have lots of great things coming up, and we'll be able to get together a little bit later in the summer and talk about those. But you were mentioning that indeed the baseline of the conservatory is a broad one, and there's room for jazz in there too, isn't there?
Indeed, there is, and we do have a vibrant contemporary music department that comes alongside what Elsa School is doing. And we really do want to be inclusive and attract the attention of as many students and creatives, as I lovingly call them, to have access to excellent training and excellent staff so they can express their artistic hero or develop their artistic hero in any style they choose to. So, mm-hmm. Yes.
Very good. And when you come back before too long this summer, we'll be talking about an upcoming production. Don't want to let all cats out of the bag at this point, but suffice it to say, you're tackling Carmina Burana, one of the major choral works of the 20th century.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we have taken that on, and it's under the care of Jan Palant and North Idaho Philharmonia. So that is going to, the performances are at the Panada right now on August 18th and 19th. So we're getting ready for that. Mm-hmm. The choral conductor is Emily Sanos from Coeur d'Alene. It's a collaborative production. We always look for collaboration in one way or another.
All right.
And bring as many singers and musicians onto the stage
Very
as we
good.
Can.
Well, Frank and Karin, thank you so much for making the trek down from Sandpoint today. And our thanks as well again to Chris Bode for being such a gracious guest and sharing so much of his background with us. Again, the concert is at 8 o'clock this Saturday evening at the Fox Theater, and simply called An Evening with Chris Bode. Now, let's do this. Let's go out with a little bit of Chris Bode's playing, you know, where he described that style at the end. I think that this is a good example of that from the Great American Songbook, When I Fall in Love. Thank you. Chris Bode and Friends, When I Fall in Love. And if you go to sandpointconservatory.org, this is specifically for Sandpoint listeners in regard to Chris Bode's appearance here in Spokane. They have put together a bus package. So if you're in Sandpoint and interested in seeing and hearing the concert, then you can sign up for that and not have to worry about parking in downtown Spokane, that living legend that it is. So again, sandpointconservatory.org.